This is the Zodiac Degrees podcast. I'm Greta Lee. Today, the degree I'm looking at is the 17th degree of Gemini. And the occasion for looking at this degree is the December 7th, 2022 full moon in Gemini at 16 degrees, 2 minutes of Gemini, which is in ordinal numbers is the 17th degree of Gemini. This goes exact at 11:08 p.m. Eastern time. The Astrolabium Planum, the first resource I use that's from 1488 in the Alps in the Holy Roman Empire town of Augsburg in Bavaria, but was also republished a few years later in Venice. But looking at this, there's a wood print image for the 17th degree of Gemini. And it's a man who is in the typical, as I say, the figure skater sort of dress. It's looser, though, but it's like sort of this tunic dress that's belted with sleeves and tights and shoes, which I guess is the typical 1488 costume or clothing of a normal person. And he's standing, sort of putting his weight on one leg, sort of casually standing on his, I guess that would be his right leg. And he has both of his arms outstretched. He's, you know, looking sort of straight at you, but his balance is just sort of to one side, so it's not too at attention. His arms are out, and he has no hands. So he's a figure, a man, arms out, no hands, just standing in like a field with some grass. The William Lilly translation of the caption says, in the 17th degree of Gemini ascends a man without hands and idle. And it, there's so much in these captions, there's so much accusations of people being idle. But it says, it signifies an unprofitable person. Okay, so someone, it's interesting because Gemini rules like the symmetrical parts of the body, especially the shoulders, arms, and hands. The Gemini is Mercury ruled. It's about skills, dexterity, doing things. It's also a lot about thinking and moving and traveling. But especially, I feel like handiworks, handicrafts, writing you do with your hands, right? You type with your hands, you sew with your hands, you work, you know, woodwork, do carpentry with your hands, all sorts of skills. And here is someone without hands, which is emphasizing the hands, but it's sort of like the opposite of that, which is very interesting. I'm picturing sort of, and it seems different than someone who's like hands are tied behind their back, or in handcuffs, as I feel like that would be more of a Saturn ruled thing, a binding, but this feels like a more of a, maybe an implication that it's, this person is responsible for it. It could be an amputee, but I'm thinking it's more metaphorical than that. Because he looks, I don't know, he just seems, looks so casual. It doesn't seem like a image of distress, of like loss of hands. It's sort of like someone who, is not doing practical things. That's what I'm picturing. I'm also, reminded of, the fable, The Handless Maiden, which is a tale from the Brothers Grimm. And so it's an old folk tale from Germany. And it has a lot of components to it, but it basically involves a poor farmer or a poor miller or, you know, a poor workman or peasant who inadvertently trades his daughter to Satan for money. He doesn't intend to. And in the process, there's, you know, this grisly, grim, scene where the young woman, loses her hands and has bloody stumps. I think that Jane Campion's movie, The Piano, which is not exactly like that, echo a little bit of a part of the story echoes this story, because at the end there's the maiden gets silver hands in replacement of her you know, her actual hands, but there's something about a lack of agency, like it's not just an idleness that is due to the inborn ineptitude, laziness, unwillingness of the person with no hands. There is some sort of, in this case, some sort of like gender power dynamic that renders the young woman powerless, without hands, without an ability to do things due to her father's dealings, due to the quote unquote patriarch's, you know, machinations with evil forces. But I think there's a lot of components to the story and a lot of like reads of that, but that's the general gist of it that was communicated to me when this story was told to me as an adult, because my parents did not read this very grisly story to me as a child. This is a deep cut, pun intended. Okay, so we're going on now to Dr. Mark Edmund Jones, The Sabian Symbols in Astrology. Gemini 17th, the head of health dissolved into the head of mentality. Okay, this is a strange symbol. This is how he explains it. This is a symbol of man's achievement on the level of spiritual or eternal fellowship with his kind. Here emphasized subjectively as a focus of selfhood and conscious self-awareness, and as a capacity to live the lives of all men in imagination and appreciation. Implicit in this symbolism is the foundation of any human well-being in everyday or immediate and practical fact, with well-rounded individuality made the condition of all real progress. And the key word here is development. When positive, this degree is the effective orientation of selfhood in an overall vision, and when negative, a defeat of accomplishment by a senseless clinging to the illusions of youth. The formula is manipulating practical, ingenious, generalizing physical. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking of the Handless Maiden, too, of like a younger person who's not able to do a lot of the world. In the world, right? I mean, I think all young people start out as novices. Yes, there's maybe some prodigies or some natural geniuses, but even they have to, you know, play an instrument for the first time. And they're not going to, you know, write a concerto on the first time they touch the instrument. There's a fumbling. So it's interesting to think of the head of health as a young person, someone who's, well, they've got life force, they're growing, they're healthy, they've got, you know, a body, right? But then the hands aren't quite developed, the skills, the know-how, the practical application of this health. So the health being dissolving more. And then the older you are, the more you understand, the more you can do things. But you, at a certain point, your energy and health can start to wane, right? I mean, some earlier than others, but right, there's a certain, like that saying, youth is wasted on the young, right? It's like, if a 70-year-old had the energy of a 20-year-old, there's so much more they could do because they've learned so much at that point. All right, Dane Ridyar in The Astrology of Personality says, head of a youth changes that into that of a mature thinker. Progression from robust participation in outer things to a realization of deeper realities, inborn wisdom, steady growth. All right, Dane Ridyar, an astrological mandala, the cycle of transformations and its 360 symbolic phases. The head of a robust youth changes into that of a mature thinker. The keynote is the transformation of physical vitality into the power to build concepts and intellectual formulations through which knowledge can be transferred. While in the preceding symbol, we see the explosive release of impulses generated by a new realization of what is right and wrong, the womanly way of controlled by feelings, now we have a picture of a process of quiet and steady metamorphosis of biological energy into mind power, which can be seen symbolically as the man. Wow, cool. Great. some really outmoded dualities here. It says, the symbolism may seem old-fashioned today. So he's calling out us on that too. But the two contrasting approaches to communication of new experiences remain evident, however one wishes to symbolize them. What we see pictured is a transformation of emotions into mind, of instincts into thoughts, a process of mental metamorphosis. All right. Okay. Moving on to Linda Hill, the Sabian symbols as an oracle. The head of a robust youth changes into that of a mature thinker. This indicates that it is time for the young male energy in us to grow up. It is time to stop tearing around, to be more responsive to life and aware of its limitations and consequences. Life can only be lived in the fast lane for so long. Growing up and taking a more mature attitude will bring a new sense of understanding about the world and how it works. There is only so much that one can do with youthful force. Now is the time to use your intuition and intellect. There may be a need to allow wisdom to shine through. Look to what is being learned. The old ways of solving things will no longer work because the situation is requiring a more mature response, inspiring a yet unknown level of wisdom. Let this wisdom come. Even though there may be some level of pain in adjusting to a life with more responsibilities, let the situation help bring about the changes, even if they are hard to bear at first. Once we mature in life, it is rare to go backwards. However, it is often important to feel and acknowledge the youthful mindset that is now changing, evolving, and growing. The various stages of life's experiences are often marked by the changing appearance of our face as we age, and the lines and gray hair appear. Regardless of age, this symbol shows that it's time for a more mature attitude. There is a need to look to the consequences of one's actions. More respect will, or at least should, be shown towards an individual as they mature. Getting to know about yourself and your responses to the environment will produce a more mature, grounded, and empowered you. Think, keywords, thinking with the higher mind, gaining maturity, making wise decisions based on past, sometimes difficult experiences, using the system to get what one wants, growing up overnight, having to change whether one likes it or not, learning the lessons that come with age, initiations into adulthood, life-changing events. And the caution is suddenly becoming very old and losing innocence and energy, clinging to the illusions of childhood, Peter Pan attitudes of never growing up, feeling old when one could or should be feeling young, hormones taking over and dictating behavior, reacting with the lower emotional nature. And here are some quotes that Linda Hill gathered to speak to Gemini 17th. To live lightheartedly but not recklessly, to be gay without being boisterous, to be courageous without being bold, to show trust and cheerful resignation without fatalism. This is the art of living. Jean de La Fontaine. But I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. Bob Dylan said that. If youth but had the knowledge and old age, the strength. That's a French proverb. I'm aiming by the time I'm 50 to stop being an adolescent. It's Wendy Cope. If youth knew, if age could, Henri Estienne. You're only young once, but you can be immature forever, John Greer. Be wise with speed, for a youth at 40 is a fool indeed. Edward Young. Don't trust anyone over 30 who used to say, don't trust anyone over 30. It's anonymous. And the trick is growing up without growing old. Casey Stengel. I'm thinking from these quotes that decisions are very much a thing about Gemini, like choice, multiplicity, right? There's on the one hand, on the other hand, there's this person or that person. There's a fork in the road. You can go right or left. You can go forward or backward. And decisions have consequences. I mean, some are kind of like this idea of like the butterfly, the butterfly wing effect, where we don't really know what large consequences some small actions will have. But there's a certain point where you realize, you know, growing up, what decisions are beneficial. You learn to make choices, and that's part of the process of growing up, right? I mean, as you grow older, you know, from being like a baby or a toddler to a child to a teenager, you know, and onward, you learn, oh, okay, I can choose to yell and scream, or I could choose to ask for something nicely, right? I can choose to, you know, do my homework, or I could choose to, you know, play video games. All these sort of things where when you're very young, the choices are mostly made for you, and hopefully you have adults that are modeling what choices to make. Of course, we all have, you know, no one is born into a perfect world with perfect guardians. But the idea is, as you grow older, you take on more of the decision making, right? And it's, some of these decisions are not fun to make. And it's interesting because Gemini, for me, just feels like such a fun sign, chatty, friendship. There's a lightness to it. But it does right now, this Mars retrograde in Gemini, this full moon, is trining Saturn in Aquarius. You know, there's Aquarius, which is Saturn ruled, and there's Libra, which is, you know, Saturn is exalted in there. And then the choices you make with this mercurial mind, if they're aligned with a sense of longevity or a sense of permanence, I'm going to make some simple choices. How about the choice to be nice to people, right? That's a very Gemini thing. I mean, it could be a Gemini habit to say pleasantries and small talk. That actually can get you, positive things in the long run, right? It can just give you a positive day-to-day experience, or you could have a habit of insulting people and being hostile. And that can, you know, lead to maybe getting things that you want a little bit. But you know, long-term misery, I would say. So it's interesting. This is making me reflect more deeply on Gemini right now. Charable, a square containing 12 small squares, resembling the breastplate of the Jewish high priest. This denotes one of a very reverential and devotional disposition, very secretive, a student of the occult, and one capable of mighty deeds as a magician. Wow, so that's, I just had to Google image that because I'm not so familiar with this, its history of like holy object from, you know, Jewish holy objects, but it's really, this really cool like golden plate that would have 12 different like precious like stones on it. It would have like a ruby, an emerald, onyx, turquoise, all these in a sort of crystal grid, and they all have significations, and wow, that's a really cool object. And this idea of this, this sort of grid, it very much thinks as like organization of thought and symbols, that makes sense in a mercurial way. And then, the magician, being a very Mercury-oriented thing, a person who can sort of talk and think and act between realms, between spiritual and physical realms. And okay, that's very interesting. Sephariel, a broken pitcher lying upon the ground with spilled fruit around it. It denotes one who will come to some untimely end through the hands of another. It shows the nature to be unpractical and the pursuits of the native to be mostly vain and of no lasting benefit. It shows loss of powers during lifetime and perhaps loss of faculties. It is a degree of impotence. Now, this is interesting with like the charitable and sephariel degrees. It's almost like charitable is all the aged, elder, wise person part of the symbol, and then sephariel is the like hapless young person who's, you know, being like useless and sort of ruining everything he touches and wasting his youth and wasting his time. Right. Isidore Kuzminski, a blind giant in full armor hitting out wildly with a huge battle axe at nothing. It denotes one who overestimates his power and who rushes into quarrels from which no good can be obtained. After trouble and waste of energy, he may find to his chagrin that he has gained nothing by his adventures, but the reward of folly. It is a symbol of blundering. You know, that's really interesting because I feel like that everybody who's young does this in some degree of sort of running around doing nothing, wasting their time, being overconfident and thinking they could, you know, accomplish something or master something really fast, thinking they're so great and smart and strong and talented. And then it's like, oh, wait, that's really hard. I can't just learn Japanese in a week, right? Or I can't become, you know, a talented sports player, like after one season, you know, it takes a long time. So, That's a good one. Okay, Helene and Willem Capion. The first image is a man without hands is seated before a table on which there are placed various beautiful fruits and beautiful books. At his feet, water is spilling out of a broken jar. So this seems like the Astrolabium Planum plus Sephariel in this image. And it says, Jandis calls this degree of impotence. On the outer physical level, and in practical life, people with this degree rising or with a prominent planet here needs to be warned to be very careful to guard their hands against accidents because they are very accident prone. In extreme cases, they may result in mutilation or amputation, causing them to become completely dependent upon their family or other people. This can happen through their own imprudence, but also through the ill will of others. They may be wounded in war or in a street fight while mingling with a crowd. They could, therefore, avoid these situations if possible. They also have to be extremely careful to avoid minor accidents when using tools and instruments. These outer happenings may be lessons to be learned from a past life experience. I'm wondering if there's always stories like in the news and about like somebody who cuts off their hands like on a circular saw or farm equipment or something and gets them sewed back on. And I just wonder, I mean, this would be its own little research project. If you have this degree in your chart and you have experiences of like sewing back on a limb, I'd be very interested to hear about it. Or if there's any examples of people who have this degree activated. Capion says, on the mental and spiritual plane, these people may have a very impractical nature. They are constantly conceiving great plans, never to be realized. For whilst they can distantly visualize their aims, they are not able to relate realistically to these dreams, nor come to terms with things as they actually are. It's interesting because I'm thinking of like Sagittarius, who's about like aiming towards the distance, getting to that goal, journeying towards that desire, that dream. And Gemini is sort of this opposite of like devil in the details and like lost in the immediate distractions, where there could be sort of on an extreme expression of that will just be completely lost 2 inches in front of their faces every time they try to accomplish something. Okay, and so Kappian says, as so they remain idle or unprofitably busy, that's a good word, unprofitably busy, in pursuit of unattainable perfection, obsessed by their own fantastic projects. They can then be a burden to others and may even degenerate mentally so far as to be put in care for life. However, this level can be avoided, as the man without hands is only part of the image. There's also the symbol of the table spread with food, which may indicate great knowledge and wisdom. Latent in these people, only wanting to be taken up and used. Unfortunately, they often wait so long to exercise their talents that the right moment passes and these fruits of the spirit are lost. Voluntary procrastination may then be punished by enforced impotence of one form or another, by mental weakness, accident, or physical disability. Or these people may be financially crippled by factors outside their control. The painful experience of unemployment, or their own or that of their of those nearest to them, comes under this degree. And that makes me think again of the handless maiden, where she was crippled by her father's poverty, right? He was so quick to make a deal to get money that he didn't even think that he was trading her away. And I feel like, you know, that's sort of like the high price of poverty. A lot of times, even if you do know better and you are wiser, you're like, hey, I know this is a waste of money. I can't buy this in bulk right now. I just have to get this, the more expensive option, because that's all the cash I have, is, you know, things like that. They have to realize that all such outer events come to them by way of their own mentality. On a still higher level, this degree contains the entire Gemini Grail and its problems. These people tend to reach for a form too soon, before they realize what their inner and outer circumstances are. They do not think and plan first. They should sit down and count the cost of the transformation they wish to manifest. If they do not, their hands will be symbolically cut off because of improper use of the spoken word. The spoken or written word is a sin. Okay. Then fate hits them because they have dealt with their self-analysis far too superficially, and deep within them, they shun humble and hard labor. They need to become receptive to the slow inner growth and be in tune with the right timing from the inner planes, with which they should be in closer telepathic contact. They should not evoke this inner world and call down to their potentials above their own abilities. Otherwise, there is danger that they'll be astrally cut off, which may bring loneliness and seclusion. Their nervous system may be affected, causing them to become immobilized. To avoid this, they need to live a life of conscientious service, looking after their own instead of becoming a burden on them. On a very high level, they may become great sages who use a physical or mental handicap to advance the great heights of spiritual attunement. They may break open like a broken jar so that waters of life can flow freely through them. Thus, they become channels for inspired words, which are like ripe fruits and those on earth ready for their teaching. Yeah, this idea of like your disability or your liability being a great asset and learning to, you know, actually I'm very clumsy and have a hard time thinking this way. Well, that may be because you have this other strength and realizing that your quote unquote symptom or being, yeah, being differently abled can work to your advantage and can be beneficial to you. And it's so easy to think, oh, I can't do this thing, therefore I'm generally incapable. And this thing that Kavyan's talking about, where it is your responsibility to figure out how you are capable, right? This idea of learned helplessness. Oh, well, I've always had a hard time doing paperwork, so I can't go to the doctor because I don't have the right paperwork. So you need to figure it out. You know what? You might have a real skill in being friends with somebody that can help you with that, right? And that's your skill, is pulling in your network of people to help. Or, and there's so many things. Oh, I'm bad with tools. I can't fix my kitchen sink is broken. Well, it's just like, you pay someone else to do that and you make money with your other skills. We quote unquote live in a society, and we all have to sort of help each other out. And I think that the Gemini sociability and the network of people's different strengths and weaknesses seem like it's a real implied part of this degree, right? If you're incapable of doing a skill, you can learn it from others. You can ask for help. You can, there's so many workarounds, right? You got to be clever. It's Gemini. You've got to, do what you can and get a lot, make something out of nothing. Okay. The second image is the head of a youth changes into that of a mature thinker. This is the working out of the higher level of this first image. The head comes under Aries, and thus the symbol asks for a combination of left and right brain thinking, the male and female sides, or the two halves. This is done by unmasking earlier pretensions and their attendant failures. Here is development and spiritual evolution. Relationships with the inner world have ripened and show in the head. There may still be too much intellectualism, but the wisdom of the heart is beginning to be seen in the face. And the biblical parallels, they say, are, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's from Corinthians. So a house not made of hands. It's interesting that almost like I've been interpreting the handlessness as like the negativity of youth, but it's also now I'm picturing like this sort of sublimation of getting things done by like just thinking it and willing it and sort of being the conductor, where you're waving, you could just like wave your arms. You don't need to actually play the instruments and get the music and make things happen through understanding how to like impress your will on the room, on the universe. So that's, getting pretty far out in a cool way. Okay. Adriano Corelli, 17 Gemini. The symbol is a handless man. Birthright, personal prestige, or cult powers may grant the native supremacy over others, who will then be the material tools to carry out what the native has conceived. Should practical execution fail him, he would not be able to perform with his own hands and translate into concrete reality what appeared dazzlingly clear to his mental eye. Either he will be totally devoid of manual skill and practical sense, or he will be maimed or otherwise invalided. Should he work with supernatural means, one has then to bear in mind that magic consists only in working without hands and walking without feet. Let those who have ears understand, but magic practice will not suit anyone who is not physically whole. Huh. Okay. Interesting. I don't know what the magic practice and physically whole sentence is about, but I love that idea of working without hands and walking without feet. And in working magic, despite, having a disadvantage or not being able to do something yourself, making it happen. I'm thinking of, someone who like could design something amazing, right? And they don't have maybe they design an amazing car or a plane or something, and they don't actually have the welding experience or the electronics experience, but they, you know, assemble a team or get people who do. And it is almost impossible for one person to have all of those like hyper specialized skills that might be going into like a grand magical feat. Okay. Gerald L. Keen says, denotes one who is kindly and charitable and who may spend a lifetime working for others without reward for the self. There is some connection with music and it's benevolence. Okay. E.C. Matthews says impotence. And it says the fixed star Rigel is there, which I'll touch on later, which is a good important fixed star. And it says who's denotes someone who's energetic, benevolent, inventive, and fortunate. This has been a powerful degree. In itself, this seems to have been a very weak degree and is seldom found in horoscopes of famous people. Most people concerned with this degree seem to be dreamy or impractical. So I guess that the idea that Rigel is here is bringing more strength to this degree, which is about impotence, but then the fixed star, which is very slowly sort of, you know, the procession of the equinoxes and the slow drifting over time of the fixed stars. And the zodiac markers, depending on if you're using sidereal or tropical zodiac. I feel like there's like this whole emphasis that can be placed just on the fixed stars. I'm only bringing up the ones that are like the major ones, that fit in some of these degrees. 'Cause it is a little bit like the degrees are more of like a projection of a chart on the ecliptic, versus the fixed stars are actually planetary bodies. So, or not planetary bodies, like celestial bodies that we then apply to, you know, where they're projected on the ecliptic. So, I mean, this is a work in progress and exploration, but there's definitely this major intersection with fixed stars here. Okay, let's move on to Donna Walter Henson. Degrees of the Zodiac. Teachers, inheritor of a home. Many with this seem to be dreamy or impractical, seems to be a weak degree in itself and is seldom found in the charts of famous people. Energetic, benevolent, inventive, and fortunate. Breathing, if there's a malefic there, there may be asthma or lung trouble or pneumonia. If afflicted in the middle of Gemini, apt to affect the eyes. First rib. All right. Esther Leinbach. The good deeds of this degree have often gone unrewarded, indicating that the influence here does not have enough strength to be significant. There is a fixed star here which is still influential, similar to the nature of Mars and Jupiter, producing an aggressive, energetic expansion of ideas. This degree has also been influenced by the north node of Venus prior to 1945. Most interpretation continues to reflect that influence as a peace-loving yet impractical individual. It is probably just a weak degree, and we must look to other areas. We may safely expect some mental ability of a general Gemini nature, depending on the planet located here, but this is not a powerful stimulus. All right. I mean, it's interesting because I would think if Mercury was at this degree, it would be a very strong degree, but is it weaker than if it was at the 16th degree of Gemini or 15th? I don't know. We'll see what the examples of people with this degree activated are a little later. Okay, let's go to Martin Goldsmith. Oh, I want to say something about the North Node of Venus. I've never really gotten into the nodes of anything other than the moon because it's just like a whole nother rabbit hole. So I have nothing to say about the north node of Venus, but that is sort of a curiosity I would love to hear about if anyone uses the nodes of Venus. I would be fascinated how they would apply that. Okay, Martin Goldsmith, the Zodiac Degrees. Measuring his son's height against a wall, a stern father admonishes the boy to stand up straight. Years later, the child is now much older and is being measured once more. Having enough faith in oneself to develop one's innate faculties versus trying to conform to other people's expectations. Very aware of being judged by others, especially when they fail to, quote-unquote, measure up. Issues of measurement and calibration. Living up to one's early promises. Promise, prodigies with unusual talents. Growing out of developmental problems. Correcting imbalances in growth versus becoming increasingly eccentric and unbalanced. Being able to connect with a parent and partake of their wisdom versus feeling that one must fight one's parents in order to develop one's potentials. Getting out from under a repressive regime, referring back to a seed vision of one's highest potentials versus genetic mechanisms that bring new faculties into play at the appropriate time, realizing one's potential. John Sambach, Chandra Symbols. A magic coin that has only one side. The ability to perceive and accept enigmas. The need to hold on to important ideas. Seeing through rationality. This is interesting because there's like this Gemini dualism to coin, to like two sides of a coin, right? On the one hand, on the other. And that sort of is like a negation of having two hands, right? Having no hands, having only one side of the coin. There's some sort of like damaging erasure of the dualism there. Elias Lonsdale, a magic coin that has only one side. Bland realism as complete cover-up. Masquerading in whichever style and form disarms and deflects and confuses and confounds. Preferring to portray yourself as plain, straightforward, and as basic as can be. The ruse is that if you consistently blow yourself up to be a commonsensical character, people shall look at you lightly, no probing. This frees up the subconscious mind to frolic impetuously, almost randomly. And if anybody ever inquired into the motivating spark behind the subconscious play and abandon, you would find a future soul discovering ways to entertain itself and to keep it going, but exceedingly aware of the tides of events, awaiting the first cue to explode the personality and get on with the future for real. Very interesting. Okay, Gavin McClung, Hyperion Symbols. Gemini 17th, a yogi in the trance of meditation. Focus of attention is the prime requisite to its own refinement, and those amenable to long endeavor can learn to produce desired effects almost as will, as any life method or spiritual practice of superior intent is disciplined in a way to attain greater ends. The key word is elevation, quality of being on a higher mental or spiritual plane, an exalted state of being. And unfortunately, there's no hidden address in this hidden secret in the address of the stars. But there is the fixed star Rigel, which is at 16 degrees 50 minutes. So which is in ordinal numbers, the 17th degree, and it has an orb of 2 degrees and 40 minutes. The fixed star Rigel, Beta Orionis, is a 0.1 magnitude bluish triple star system situated on the left foot of the Hunter Orion. The modern name Rigel is and traditional name Yazuwa both came from the Arabic frame Rijil, Yazuwa al-Yusura, I'm probably not pronouncing this right, which means the left leg of Yazuwa. Rigel means foot and Yazuwa means Orion. The rarer name for the star, Aljabrar or Elgibrar, comes from the Arabic phrase Rigel Algabar, which means the foot of the great one. The fixed star Rigel gives benevolence, honor, riches, glory, happiness, renown, and inventive or mechanical ability. According to Ptolemy and Lilly, it is the nature of Jupiter and Saturn, but later authors consider it favorable and similar to Jupiter and Mars. High ambition, pride, love of power, grandeur of view. The star Rigel gives splendor, honor, riches, and happiness to those who are born under it. It is seen that while the constellation may indicate a bad influence, such as those who are foolish and impious, the individual star portends all those who are apt to be self-reliant persons whose success will give them riches and eminence. Rigel on the left knee in the constellation of Orion corresponds to Mars-Jupiter combination. Tradition regarding the influence of Rigel is quite contradictory, implying again that the cosmogram must be fully analyzed. With this Mars-Jupiter nature, Rigel has particular meaning when found in charts of government officials, military people, politicians, political leaders, barristers, and priests. The foot star in Orion is Orionis Rigel, and meaning the foot, in his forward foot nearest to the bull. It's classed by Ptolemy as Jupiter-Mars, and it invariably shows a character that will take on anything before it. But such a person does have to be careful that their courage is using with wisdom and sincere purpose if they are not to be painfully stung for flaunting bravado for sake of vanity. All right. Moving on to the second part of the podcast, and this is really for if you have the 17th degree of Gemini activated in your chart by a planet or one of the nodes of the moon or an angle, I think this will, you know, be of special interest to you. So if you're looking at a chart, it's going to say Gemini 16, right? Because if you're looking at like astro.com or most like astrology software, it's not using ordinal numbers, but like Sabian symbols and the degree systems use ordinal numbers. So it'll look like Gemini 16 here. So looking at the sun, we have Beau Brummel has had a son here, and he's one of my favorite Geminis that ever lived. And he was the best friend of King George IV of England. And Beau Brummel lived from 1778 to 1840. And he was like a fashion icon, was a dandy, was an aristocratic lad who was like a trendsetter. He basically started the trend that went away from like powdered wigs and like long coattails and all that frippery and finery of the revolutionary time. And he started making it fashionable just to wear like black suits with like an ascot. And he made men's fashion a lot more minimalist. He became really wealthy because of his proximity and friendship to the king. And then he insulted the king, made fun of him, kind of, you know, overestimated his power. He called the king fat behind his back, and then the king was like, cut him off. And basically Beau Brummel then like died in poverty because he just basically like mean girled himself out of the royal court. And he wasn't really capable of doing much more. He's kind of like, you know, so spoiled and had such a high like clothing allowance and would have, you know, people come and watch him like dress in the morning but he wasn't a very practical person. But he's very, very interesting and influential person because he really is influenced fashion a long time after his life. We also have Prince, another dandy, right? Another man who's like completely. But Prince, I think, was very practical and could, like, obviously had skills with his hands, right? He's a guitar player. But I think a similar sort of larger-than-life grandiosity in a light, flippant Gemini way. And we also have Iggy Azalea, Tom Jones, Dean Martin, Dave Navarro, Bonnie Tyler, who sang Total Eclipse of the Heart, Nick Rhodes, who was in Duran Duran, Fetty Wap, the rapper, Antonio Marquise, L.A. Reid, who is a record executive, Al Jolson, who is a vaudeville, a comedian, actor, and vaudeville performer, who was known as the quote-unquote world's greatest entertainer and was also called the king of the blackface performers, you know, and that was a very common, you know, the minstrel show and the blackface show were sort of American folk vaudeville entertainment, very commonplace. I think now has a sort of horrific experience, or, I mean, we look at that and it's like this horrific. We couldn't imagine watching a blackface performer. But again, I feel like that's very Gemini, right? He's white, but he puts on black, right? He's being something he's not. He's tricking you. He's manipulating your emotions with his performance. He's talking, he's singing, you know, I think that's actually quite interesting, actually, the idea of blackface and Gemini. Or I would say even putting on any mask or any sort of flip of your identity. Thinking like drag would probably be a very Gemini activity as well. Paul Gauguin, the painter, Damien Hirst, also an artist, these are all people with sun at, Gemini 17. Emily Ratajkowski, Joan Rivers, another sort of like performer who is, I would say, is like due to her gender was like opposite of what you might expect and trickstery. Mike Pence, Bear Grylls from the television show Man vs. Wild. Anna Kournikova, a tennis player. Bjorn Borg, another tennis player. James J. Braddock, a Depression-era boxer. So you think of these, like, tennis players and boxers very much like, I feel like tennis courts, sports arenas or venues or courts where you have, especially, like, you have a double, right, or you have an opponent. Very, very Gemini. Bill Hader, Marguerite Yourcenar, a novelist, Carl Urban, Shalipa Shetty, Pippo Botto, Larissa Olyanik, Amrita Rao, Jessica Tandy, who acted in the original Broadway production of Streetcar Named Desire as Blanche DuBois, and she was in Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. And at 80, she became the oldest actress to receive the Academy Award for Best Actress for her role in Driving Miss Daisy. Prince Joachim of Denmark and Charlotte of Belgium also have sun at Gemini 17th. Okay, moon. Betty Davis, Florence Pugh. So some great sort of powerful actresses. Kate Beckinsale, Greta Gerwig. Florence Welch from the band Florence and the Machine. Francois René Victor-Maud de Chateaubriand, who is a 19th century politician. Erin Brockovich has her moon here, the real Erin Brockovich. So here's someone who, a mother, maybe powerless within, you know, facing chemical companies and big corporation, an unlikely person to win a battle of wits and a battle of intelligence and, you know, a legal battle, but sort of probably due to those quote-unquote disadvantages of her being the single mom that, you know, gives her this somehow an advantage and this like this over this almost delusion that she can accomplish that, right? Maybe a more seasoned lawyer wouldn't try, but so that's an interesting person to have the moon there. Lisa Edelstein, the actor, Rachel Harris, Riley Reid, a porn star, Jeff Foxworthy, Peaches Geldorf, Carlos the Jackal, who's a Venezuelan terrorist, who I think there's like a mini series on him that he ended up doing a bunch of Marxist sort of like inspired terrorism. John Maynard Keynes, who's the economist who like changed how government policy around money and monetary policy, macroeconomics, economic policies of governance. He changed the whole game with that. Also, Ben Harper, Sebastian Bach, Rolando Villazón Meleón, a Mexican operatic tenor, stage director, author, radio and television personality. Chris Pontius, a Jackass cast member. Vitas Gerilatias, another tennis player. Stefani Porato, a football goalkeeper. Daryl Strawberry, the baseball player. Eileen Marie Collins, who's a retired NASA astronaut and was the first woman to pilot the space shuttle and the first to command a space shuttle mission. Okay, Mercury in Gemini 17th. We have Tobey Maguire, a very youthful, sort of puckish-like actor, Anne Frank. I'm thinking of this handless maiden, and Anne Frank immortalized by her own diary, but like her diary that was sort of about her own powerlessness of being trapped in an attic, being a like sort of victim of history, ending up, you know, dying in a concentration camp young. So that's really interesting that she writes about that experience, but you know, her life is still beautiful and, I mean, inspiring, even more inspiring because of her tragic helplessness, because she wasn't inborn helpless. You got a sense that she had this spirit that she would be quite powerful and successful and happy and fulfilled if she was, you know, not cut down by history and by anti-Semitism and, you know, the death machine of Nazi Germany. Also Shiloh Jolie Pitt. So Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's kid, poor little rich kid, right? They probably have a lot of kids, but probably actually a pretty powerless position to be in, to be young and to have all eyes on you at all times. Must feel like you have no hands in a certain way, that there's nothing you can really do to change that situation. Wallace Simpson, another person who she was in love with the King of England. He abdicated to marry her. She was a divorced socialite from America. And she did make her life work and get her way, but in a sense she was, she had her, you know, difficulty making things happen the way she would have wanted them to. Jeremy Corbyn, another political victim of the English like system. Not to say she's such a victim, but, you know, if you've seen The Crown or whatever, it's like all the people feel very, like, stifled by the family. We also have Stanislav Markelov, who's a human rights lawyer, right? So here he is. He's advocating for left-wing political activists, for journalists and victims of police violence, advocating for anti-fascists that have been persecuted since the 1990s. And he was murdered on January 19th, 2009 in Moscow. So someone who was fighting for the people who couldn't fight for themselves, who had no advocate. Amazing. And I think just it's the same Mercury as Anne Frank there is. This is pretty powerful, echoing this this handless theme. Pam Grier, who was in, who's amazing and is in so many, films. My favorite film she's in is Jackie Brown, which is my favorite Tarantino film, which is, I mean, she's just, I don't know. I'm also a Deborah Winger, who's in Terms of Endearment, An Officer and a Gentleman, Lizzie Kaplan, Marina Baccarin, Ray Davies, who's the main songwriter for the band The Kinks, Arena Felici, she's an Italian journalist and author, known for her long, aggressive, revealing interviews. I think that Henry Kissinger said that the hour he spent with her was one of the most damaging hours of his career, right? She could really extract some in people. She could get people to talk, right? Even when they didn't want to talk. I think that's an interesting, sort of mercurial talent of not just talking yourself, not even just listening, but evoking talking and information from others, drawing it out of them. I mean, that's an interesting talent in itself. Rick Wakeman, who is in the band Yes, Joyce Carol Oates, Bianca Del Rio, Jan Tiersen, Mario Gotze, Ross Perot, Maria Gaetana Ignasi, an Italian mathematician who was born in 1718 and was the first woman appointed as a mathematics professor at a university. Hornswoggle, who's an American professional wrestler. And Philip Michael Thomas, who was an actor on the 80s TV show Miami Vice. Okay, Venus. Gemini 17th, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. That's interesting because I think a large way I think about him as is a sort of frustrated Gemini. He had, you know, his older brother died in World War II, and his older brother was the one who was really going to become president and be like groomed by his father to be the leader. And JFK wanted to be like a writer and an academic. But he loved words, right? And his speech writers were great. He was an intellectual. And he really had beauty through his, he expressed beauty through his words. He also loved beautiful women. and sort of, it's interesting. He sort of like, through his sort of philandering, I think that maybe could have cost him some. And also maybe, I don't know. I think that's, there's a lot you could interpret in that. I won't go down that rabbit hole. Okay, also Lionel Messi has his Venus at this. So this full moon on December 7th, 2022, Lionel Messi's in the World Cup right now. This is the last World Cup he's likely to be in. He's the biggest soccer player in the world, right? And it's really his like last chance, not just to show his skill, but he's really like raking in the cash as far as like endorsement deals right now. So, I mean, this is like a big moment, a big full moon for his bank book, right? I mean, he's already doing quite well, but that's very interesting, especially that Mars conjunct the full moon right now, really like making money as an athlete. And very interesting. Okay. We also have Jessica Simpson, G. Easy, Andrea Casiraghi, Olivia Munn, Jodi Arias, Bill Burr, Pauly D., Molly Sims, La La, The Entertainer, Busy Phillips, Jason Lewis, Eugène Labiche, a vaudevillian from the 19th century, Michelle Kwan, the figure skater, Despina Vondi, Golda Meir, Giancarlo Canella, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, and Dale Earnhardt all have Venus in at Gemini 17. Mars at Gemini 17. So we have Demi. Okay, so this is where Mars is right now retrograde as I'm making this this chart, this it might be a degree off at this moment that I'm recording, but this is about is retrograding. I can check right now. We've got Mars at that's exactly where Mars is right now. So we have so these people are having their Mars return right now. We have Demi Lovato, Tyler the Creator, Baron Trump, Fabio Lanzoni, the I cannot believe it's not butter guy, Louis Lumiere, the French film pioneer, Severina Vukakovic, Leah Walesa, Tony Jaa, Flava Flav, Wave Newton, Alfred Molina, Cameron, Claudia Satya Oblay, Samantha Mathis, and Jason Donovan. All right, Jupiter at Gemini 17. We have Jupiter in its detriment here. So this is interesting because it's this thing where you think, oh, a planet in its detriment. But then you have some of the most powerful people at this placement. It's always this thing of like when planets are in its detriment or in their fall, they're just sometimes so interesting, right? And it doesn't mean that it's like, you know, you're doomed, right? If you have something that's detriment. So here we have Oprah Winfrey has her Jupiter here. Her Jupiter in detriment, but if you think about Jupiter as the giver of fortune and Gemini as talking, Oprah Winfrey has basically made so much money, and it started from the fact that she's good at talking. She's good at talking to people. She's good at relating to people. And this trines her planets in Aquarius, right? Of not only she can talk one-on-one, but then it's also that conversation can relate to everybody. Very interesting. But also Barbara Walters. So Oprah Winfrey was born in 1954, Barbara Walters 1929, both women who became very successful in the 90s for interviewing people. Also another 90s success person is Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons. Also the Jupiter at Gemini 17th, we have Leon Russell, the piano player, songwriter, Patty Hearst. George Westinghouse Jr., who was born in 1846 and was a competitor of Thomas Edison, and he was an advocate of alternating current rather than direct current, and you know, an electricity engineer, inventor, businessman. We have also John Travolta, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Christie Brinkley, Arthur Schopenhauer, Lata Mangeshkar, Rene Russo, Riley Keough, Connie Nielsen, Anita Pallenberg, David Crosby, Bruno Bernhard Gröning, who is a German mystic in the 40s and 50s, Ernst August, Prince of Hanover, Pablo Alboran, Catherine Erbe, Plastic Bertrand, Paul Mirzewski, who directed Down and Out in Beverly Hills, Moscow and On the Hudson, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, movies that tend to be lighter movies but have to do with relationships. Down and Out in Beverly Hills has a lot to do with the haves and haves not. Moscow on Hudson is Robin Williams as an immigrant, insiders, outsiders, you know, be the Russia and America, like, you know, East versus West. Bob and Carol, Ted and Alice is about couples and the swing, like the, you know, late 60s, like wife swapping and like the sort of like changing attitudes around, you know, couples and sexuality. So very Gemini themes when you think about it. Okay, we also have Wayne Newton and Carolyn Jones, who played the Morticia Adams on TV. Also Pema Donyo Ninji Wiley, I probably mispronounced that, who was the 12th Thai Sutupa, a high priest in Tibetan Buddhism. We also have Richard Speck, Bo Bridges, Barry Lee Levinson, who was the director of Rain Man, Diner, Good Morning Vietnam, and other movies. Okay, moving on to Saturn at Gemini 17th. You have Alyssa Milano, Albert Camus, Adrian Brody, Brian Molko, Akon, Tyrone Power, who was a classic swashbuckler who played Zorro, Prince of Foxes, Black Rose, Captain from Castile. Also Marlon Wayans, Maya Rudolph, Malcolm McDowell, John Abraham, Elizabeth Berkley, Stuart Townsend, Jennifer Esposito, Robert Carlos, Gaston Bachelard, who is a French philosopher, Gaston Bachelard is an amazing philosopher. He I love the book, The Poetics of Space, which is a book about architecture. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful book. Also, Claudio Jordan, Charles Saatchi, the art dealer, and Jason Matsuzokas. Okay, Uranus at Gemini 17th. We have Cher, the entertainer, Goldie Hawn, Neil Young, Helen Mirren, Steve Martin, Mahinda Rajapaksa, Annie Fried Lyngstad, Wim Wenders, who's one of my favorite filmmakers, Jacqueline Smith, Luis Inacio Lula da Silva, so that's Lula, who just, in a lightning flash, got elected again in Brazil. We also have Ian Gillan from Deep Purple and Richard Wright from Pink Floyd. Also Lonnie Anderson, Henry Winkler, Gabriel D'Annunzio, Philip II of Spain, and Arina Szewińska, a Polish sprinter, who was one of the world's foremost athletes for nearly two decades. Okay, Neptune. We have George VI of the United Kingdom, Machine Gun Kelly, Paul Eluard, a poet. Here's a quote from Paul Eluard. She is always unwilling to understand, to listen. She laughs to hide her fear of herself. She has always walked beneath the arches of nights. And wherever she went, she left the mark of broken things. That really matches that Sepharial degree. Anandama Ma also had Neptune there, Indian saint and guru. We have Jack Dempsey, the 1920s boxer, Anna Freud, Carl Orff, Tristan Zara, Buckminster Fuller, Richard Walther Dare, who was the Nazi blood and soil ideologist who served as Reich Minister of Food and Agriculture. Also, Ernst Udet, who is a Nazi Air Force leader. Walter Heiber, who is a father of metal carbonyl chemistry. And Joseph Priestley, who is an English chemist and friends of Benjamin Franklin. We also have Busby Berkeley, who is a choreographer and director of musicals, and he loved to make sort of kaleidoscopic choreography of dancers in 30s musicals. And also William Cowper, who was an English poet and an Anglican hymn writer, and also a very outspoken and anti-slavery activist at the time. He was born in 1731. He was friends with the writer who wrote Amazing Grace, and he wrote a poem called The Negro's Complaint in 1788, which became very famous and was often quoted by Martin Luther King Jr. in the 20th century civil rights movement. And he, William Cowper was first to say, the first one to say that God moves in mysterious ways. So that's, you know, now just a common term, but it first came out of this guy's mouth. Oscar Greeley, Hammerstein of Oscar and Hammerstein and Rodgers and Hammerstein. So he was the lyricist for Oklahoma, Carousel, The King and I, and The Sound of Music. Okay, Pluto. Pluto at Gemini 17. So we have Alfred Hitchcock, who once said, puns are the highest form of literature, which is a nice Gemini and Pluto thing to say. Ernest Hemingway, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who wrote The Little Prince, Gary Cooper, Jacques Lacan, Langston Hughes, Jorge Luis Borges, John Steinbeck, Ansel Adams, Charles Lindbergh, John, the King of England, who under his reign the Magna Carta signed, which was a huge blow to the monarchy. And he was such an unpopular king that no King of England was ever named John ever again. Also, Ida Kaminska, and Emperor Showa, who was commonly known as Hirohito, who was the 124th Emperor of Japan, ruling from 1926 until 1989. Also, Martha Robin, who is a French Roman Catholic mystic and stigmatist, who she was bedridden when she was 21 years old and remained so till her death. According to witnesses, she ate nothing for many years apart from receiving the Holy Eucharist. All right, talk about being in like the, no, this is like beyond no hands. That is an interesting case study. I bet her chart is very interesting. Martin Bormann also had Pluto here, who was Adolf Hitler's private secretary, and he gained immense power by controlling the flow of information and access to Hitler. Pluto in Gemini, right? This like powerful control of information. It's very, very, very interesting. All right, James Cagney, B.B. Daniels, Tallulah Bankhead, Jose Gomez Lord Louis Mountbatten, and Louise de Vilmorin. Also, Sulamith Wolfing had her Pluto here, and she was a German artist and illustrator who she illustrated angels, elfin creatures, and very, very supernatural. Supernatural, like sort of Germanic fairy tale images. She grew up kind of in isolation to Theosophist parents. They kind of lived in seclusion, but then later she trained as an artist and has some pretty compelling illustrations, some of which have these real extreme juxtapositions of old people and young people, like in Snow White with the old witch and the young, beautiful Snow White. There's a few online that I could see, like there's this one of an old man handing a young child a crystal. And it just seems very relevant to this degree image. Okay, North Node and Gemini. We have Gemini 17th. We have Freddie Mercury, Sarah Jessica Parker, Liz Green, Amber Rose, Alexa Chung, The Undertaker, The Wrestler, Adrian Belon, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Charlotte Bronte, who wrote Jane Eyre, Errol Flynn, Piers Morgan, Miranda Lambert, Barry Gibb, James Mason, Adam Devine, Guy de Rothschild, and then the Ascendant. So the Ascendant moves every 4 minutes as the least reliable measure of if these birth times are off at all. This is incorrect, but I just thought I'd put it out there. If this is your Ascendant, or if you're very interested in these people, I'd definitely research the Rodin rating and everything for the Ascendant in particular, also the Moon. Ashton Kutcher has his Ascendant here, Juliet, which I'm thinking of, like, there was that movie where he played actually an amputee and someone who got put in a wheelchair. So interesting. Juliet Lewis, Laurence Olivier, Diana Rigg, Hildegard of Bingen, who was born in 1098. And there's no way we have accurate birth date on her down to the Ascendant. So I don't know. Also Mindy Kaling and Thomas Paine, the author of Common Sense and The American Crisis. So he sort of instigated the revolution. He didn't fight himself. This is someone who instigated the revolution, whose ideas, so that sort of idea of like the ideas making the action happen. All right. Well, have a happy full moon in Gemini, and don't get too stressed out by Mars retrograde, and see you next time. Bye.